Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Kate Culver. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 17, verses 1 through 7, and selections from John chapter 13. It is the third of the series Jesus' Journey Through John and is titled Trial and Denial. Central Sunday Morning Service for the 8th of March, 2026, third Sunday in Lent, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Our second text is a selection from John 18, 12 to 27. Listen now for God's word for you and for me. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. And first they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. And since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside the gate. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "Are you not one of this man's disciples?" And he said, "I am not." Now, the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. And they were standing around it and warming themselves, and Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered, "If I have spoken openly to the world, I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them, and they will know what I have said." And when he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face. "Is that how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" And then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And now Peter was still standing and warming himself. And they asked him again, "You are also not one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it again, and he said, "I am not." And one of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And again, Peter denied it, and in that moment, the rooster crowed. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. So I want you to picture a campfire. Not a perfect one, not the kind you see in magazines with the matching Pendleton and the artisanal marshmallows, although that does sound great. But this time I mean a real one, the kind where smoke keeps shifting direction no matter where you sit. The kind where someone always say, "Hey, move your chair, it's coming straight at you." And then the wind turns, and then it comes straight at you anyway. There's something ancient about a fire at night. The way it pulls people close, the way it loosens conversation, the way stories rise in that flickering light. Yes, a fire does strange things to us. It softens us. It exposes us. It makes us aware of the cold pressing in at our backs. And if you've ever been camping, you know that moment when the fire starts to burn low and everyone instinctively leans in and someone pokes at the embers and someone adds wood and there's this quiet, shared desire to keep that warmth going, to push back the darkness just a little bit longer. Yes, fire gathers us. Fire reveals us. And in John's gospel today, there is a fire burning in the courtyard. It is cold. and people are drawing near to warm themselves. And one of them is Peter. Peter follows Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. He does not vanish into the night. He does not run back to Galilee. He follows as far as he can. But then he stops at the fire. And John tells us something subtle. In the Greek, this particular kind of charcoal fire appears twice in the gospel, here and then again later after the resurrection when Jesus is making breakfast on the shore. Two charcoal fires, one in a courtyard of fear and one on a beach of forgiveness. John wants us to remember both. But right now we're in the courtyard, and Peter stands at the fire, warming his hands, and someone asks him a simple question. "You are also not one of these man's disciples, are you?" And Peter says, "I am not." And that sentence lands in the body before it lands in theology. Have you ever said something and felt it echo physically? Have you ever felt your stomach drop or heat rise in your face? Felt your throat tighten because you knew you had just stepped away from something that is true. It's not an abstract thought. It's not intellectual. It lives in our muscles and in our bones. And friends, it's also what grief feels like. When we lose someone, our bodies remember. When trust fractures, our breath changes. When we betray our own values, even in small ways, something inside us recoils. And just like grief, the courtyard is not a theological scene. It's a bodily one. Peter's denial is more than a denial of acquaintance. It is a fracture in identity. He says, "I am not." But let's slow down. We often read this story quickly and we hurry towards the failure. Right? We hurry towards the lesson about courage. If only Peter had been stronger. If only he had stood firm. If only he had testified. But the thing is, John doesn't rush. He tells us something first. He says it was cold. He doesn't have to tell us that. He could focus on the interrogation inside right away. He could describe the violence. But instead, he chooses to tell us about the temperature. And that makes me wonder if we've been reading this story at the wrong temperature. We imagine Peter denying Jesus because he is afraid. And he most certainly is. He is afraid. But what if something else is happening too? What if Peter is not just afraid? What if he is heartbroken? The warmth he has known for years. The nearness, the teaching, the shared meals, the laughter, the sense he belonged to something holy has just been taken inside those walls. Jesus is no longer beside him. The voice that steadied him has been struck. The future he thought he understood is dissolving right in front of him in real time. Of course he's cold. Of course he reaches for fire. You see, Peter is not cowardly. He is human. He has followed Jesus into danger, and now he stands in the cold courtyard of institutional power, trying to stay warm when everything inside him trembles. Inside, Jesus is questioned about his disciples and his teaching, and he answers calmly. He says he has spoken openly in synagogues and in the temple. Nothing is in secret, and for that transparency, he is struck in the face. And then outside, Peter is asked again if he belongs to the teacher, and he denies them three times. And then a rooster crows. And in this instance, the rooster crowing is not just a manner of telling time. It's a sound that cuts through the body. It's a sharp intrusion of awareness, a moment that denial collapses the second when grief floods in. And in times like these, I like to turn to the saints for direction. And Mary Oliver writes, "Someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that that was a gift too." A box full of darkness. That's what this night has become for Peter. Not a lesson in shame, not a reckoning, but a memory he will carry with him in his muscles, a truth about his limits that will shape his future courage. Grief can clarify, not because it feels good, but because it strips away illusion. And cold does that too. Cold makes you smaller. It pulls your shoulders in. It shortens your breath. It narrows the field. It makes speech harder. It makes survival feel urgent. That is to say, Peter is not staging a rebellion. His body is just contracting. And if we're honest, there are courtyards like this in our own lives too. Moments when speaking clearly would cost something. Moments when aligning visibly with Jesus feels risky. Moments when systems feel immovable and power feels settled. And John is careful to show us the system at work. Authority questions, officers strike, power protects itself. Peter's denial does not create the injustice unfolding inside. No, the machinery was already turning. But the story does ask us something. Where do you stand when the power is flexing? Where do you warm your hands? It's not a shaming question, it's a pastoral one. Because most of us don't wake up intending to betray what we love. We wake up trying to survive the day, try to keep our families safe, try to keep our jobs, trying to maintain some sense of stability, and sometimes survival can edge into silence. We reach for warmth wherever we can find it, even imperfect warmth, even smoke-filled warmth. And Lent understands this. Lent is not about theatrical sorrow. It's about truth. Ashes that are pressed into skin. Remember that you are dust. Dust is not an idea. It has texture, and it clings. And faith is not disembodied bravery. It's staying present in our humanity, a body that feels cold or afraid, or grief-struck, and trusting that God meets us there. And here's what steadies me in this text, and it's important. Inside the building, Jesus does not crumble under questioning. He does not deny who he is. He does not match violence with violence. He remains himself. Jesus's I am does not flicker. Peter's I am not trembles. And the contrast isn't meant to humiliate Peter. It's meant to show us something about our identity rooted in God. Even in the cold of our humanity, when our identity wavers, Christ does not. And there's something deeply comforting about that. And the fact that John preserves Peter's denial so plainly. Because if Peter is the rock on which the church is built, then the church is built on a testimony of someone who has faltered. Our faith is carried forward by people who have stood in the cold, who have felt their courage shrink, because we do not belong to a community of flawless bravery. We belong to a community that is shaped by mercy. Look around. Look within. And when the rooster crows in your life, and it will, know that you are not disqualified. When you recognize that you have stayed silent, that you have stayed safe, that you reached warmth because you were cold, the story is not over. The one who stood steady under interrogation will also kneel beside a fire and cook breakfast. The one who heard Peter's denial will entrust him with care. And sometimes faith looks like staying in a courtyard even when your voice shakes. And sometimes it looks like following at a distance until grace catches up. So as we continue through Lent, the story will move towards the cross and power will tighten, and the crowd will gather. But here, today, in this courtyard, the gospel pauses long enough for us to notice the cold. And perhaps this week, the question is a gentle one. Where have I said I'm not when I wanted to say I am? Where has grief made me smaller than I intended? Where am I simply cold? Remember that Jesus' I am holds firm through arrest and violence, and that I am holds us too. Even in our heartbreak, even in our grief, in our humanity, when all we can manage is I am not, and that is the grace of this story. Not perfection, not performance, just presence. And God remains who God is, a narrative that refuses to let our worst moment define us. So if you're feeling cold, if you're carrying grief this Lent, and most of us are, notice where it lives in you, in your shoulders, in your sleep, in your patience, in your breath. Notice it without judgment, because the gospel is not shaming Peter, does not shame Peter's trembling body. It tells the truth about it. And then it keeps telling the story. Even when we say, I am not, Jesus says, I am. He does not waver. So friends, even when we are in the throes of grief and we forget who we are, we remain held by the one who does not forget. And that steady presence is warmth enough for now. May it be so. Amen. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.